All right, so maybe you could introduce yourself and talk about what you're doing here.
I'm Michael Cozart, and I'm from San Francisco, and I'm a physician. And I'm here in Algiers, New Orleans.
And there's a clinic set up here. Who set up the clinic, and what does it do?
Well, this clinic came together from a call that was put out by Malik Rahin, who is a local activist, former Black Panther Party member who lives in Algiers, New Orleans, which is essentially, it's a very underserved, impoverished community of color. And what happened after Katrina hit is that there were just a few days of absolute nightmare with a lot of gun battles and folks who had stayed behind afraid to go out of their houses. And for well on into a week, people were basically stuck here with dwindling supplies, with no food and no fresh water and running out of medications and afraid to venture forth looking for stuff. And it was just getting to be a nightmare. And actually, a lot of the folks who stayed behind were elderly, frail people, people who couldn't afford to drive out, people who, you know, just were very vulnerable. And so Malik put this call out for help. And in part, that the story behind that is that there wasn't any other help available. FEMA, the Red Cross, Department of Health weren't able to get into Algiers, weren't able to open up relief centers. And it seemed that if the government wasn't going to do anything, the people had to do something. So Malik put this call out through a lot of independent media channels throughout the nation, asking for folks to come by and assist the community in a rebuilding process. And in particular, there was a strong need for a healthcare presence. And so that was sort of the background for people coming here and for this clinic coming together. What I understand is that there was a caravan of folks from the East Coast, mainly supported by the May Day DC Collective, who came in first. And I'm blanking on the date, but I think they came in as early as September 1st and worked with Malik and other community members to try to get this clinic up and running. And I believe it was officially open by Friday, September 9th. And it's running in a mosque, a space that was donated for the purpose of providing this sort of help. So that's the background behind this clinic. And since September 9th, since that Friday, a lot of other groups have come in. And I was part of a group from San Francisco. We were a caravan of three trucks loaded down with supplies, a lot of healthcare supplies and medications. And we had raised some money for donating to different groups in Louisiana and particularly in New Orleans. And we arrived here on, what was it, Sunday night, Monday morning of September 12th. And since that time, we've all just been plugging in. I've been working in this clinic every day since then.
And what are some of the conditions that you've been treating, and how many people are you seeing?
Well, a lot of the conditions we're treating are reflect the fact that people were without services for at least like 10 days following the hurricane, and a lot of people had run out of medication. So a lot of people had chronic medical problems that had gotten worse because they weren't on their medications. So folks coming in with really high blood pressure, with sugars that were really elevated because they didn't have their insulin for their diabetes, difficulty breathing because they'd run out of their inhalers for their asthma. So we've seen a lot of that kind of problem, and we've been able to deal with that really effectively because we have a huge supply of medications. And also we've been able to get emergency prescription pads. And so if we don't have medications, we've been able to write the scripts. And if the folks don't have the cars to get to the pharmacies, we've been able to transport them to the pharmacies to get their medications. So that's been a big part of the work. We've seen a few injuries, you know, like dog bites, some bruises, and we've been able to deal with that.
And there are dog bites because there are stray dogs running around?
There are a lot of stray dogs. very hungry dogs, and they've kind of banded together, and they tend to be sort of ferocious. But in addition to just renewing medications and dealing with injuries, the third category of things that we've seen, which is really revealing, is that a lot of folks are coming in here who had never even seen a doctor for months or years. And what's really interesting is that this community is so underserved that, you know, now that there's a readily accessible clinic, some of them are coming into care for the first time in a really long time. So we're seeing untreated medical conditions with very, very treatable, you know, conditions that could really improve with primary care. And I think that's the story that is really happening here, which is that the hurricane was a disaster by any measure. It was a horrible disaster. But the story behind that is that it was just the latest disaster in a whole history of disaster of neglect and abandonment. And so that the vision of this clinic and this, of all the people coming here is that we're going to move beyond just immediate disaster response to Katrina to dealing with this underlying disaster of neglect and really start the foundation for a grassroots movement of help and humanitarian service for these folks. And it's really important to get the word out that the philosophy here is one of mutual aid, so that this is not just going to be a replicating the model of assistance that comes from the state and public institutions where professionals come in and offer services and folks come and utilize them, i.e. Dependency from, you know, dependency amongst the community for services from professionals. We're really hoping to instill a lot of self-help in this process and to incorporate community members in at all phases of the work here, you know, and training them, providing education and background about healthcare issues, teaching about how you take blood pressure and how you manage charts and how you introduce and orient patients. And hopefully, ultimately, we'll be doing teachings about healthcare issues, all sorts of things.
Now, you're a doctor in California who came here to help with the hurricane relief effort. Have you had any problems being a doctor in California, like prescribing medicines here in Louisiana or anything?
Well, it was a little bit bureaucratic at first. Everyone knows that the governor issued a state of emergency, which lifted credentialing requirements amongst out-of-state clinicians, so presumably out-of-state people could come and start practicing at the same level that they were practicing in their home state. In actuality, what we had to do was present ourselves to the Department of Public Health, who set up Department of Public Health for New Orleans, who set up an emergency operations center in Baton Rouge, and so we had to present ourselves in person with our documentation, sign waivers, and sign some forms. And it was really confusing to figure this out because I had trouble locating all this information. It was only because I sort of called into the Department of Public Health to just get a sense for what services were being provided that I learned that indeed I had to find my way to Baton Rouge to be able to do this. So I got it done. No big deal. What I've encountered as well is a certain level of difficulty bridging what we're doing with what some of the larger relief organizations are doing. And in particular, we have a real need in this clinic for more MDs to come in and be able to write the prescriptions, because I will have to be going back to San Francisco fairly soon, and I've been the only doctor who's been here more or less continuously. We've had a few doctors come and go for afternoon here or there, but in terms of bottom lining the medical part of it, the MD part of it, we haven't had anyone else. And so I know there are a lot of doctors that came into the state to help out, and a lot of them got plugged in through the Department of Public Health. And so I was very really interested in calling DPH and seeing if they could maybe send some of their physicians, if they weren't deployed elsewhere, to help out in our clinic. And I've gotten a sort of sense that from the DPH standpoint, they only see the relief operations that they're involved with, you know, interacting with the Red Cross and the military and FEMA. And they don't really see what we're doing as necessarily fitting into their whole framework of care. That's the impression I'm getting.
And what is their framework of care?
Well, it's the big government-sponsored relief effort. And honestly, it's been really bewildering to figure out what exactly they're doing. Like, let's say in this particular neighborhood of Algiers, I know that there are a number of different ways in which the government at both, you know, at local, county, state, and federal levels are trying to provide relief effort. I know there are a number of things that they're doing. For example, they have deployed physicians in various small clinics. These physicians generally are being given ambulance crews to help them out. But these small clinics have been very hard to find, and they're not well publicized. For example, I spent one afternoon in police precinct number 4 with a physician who had come down from Philadelphia to help out. And he had been plugged in by DPH, and he was there with 2 ambulance crews. And I spent the whole afternoon with him, and there were very few. In fact, I don't think I remember a single patient who came in like the 4 hours I was there. Most of the people being treated were the military police, SWAT people, who, you know, had minor scrapes and injuries. And I think that's a sign that, you know, here was a well-funded relief effort that wasn't being publicized and wasn't accessible to the people, whereas 2 miles away, here's our clinic, and we had tons of people coming in that day, you know, looking for all sorts of things, and we were as busy as can be. So that's an example of how we could have utilized that physician, or we could have maybe had those ambulance crews work with us to, you know, scope out some of the regions where we know people need some help or are stuck at home. We've been doing home visits on bikes. We could have had the ambulance crews help out a bit more. I guess the point is that our clinic was up and running very quickly. It was the first relief effort to be organized in Algiers. It stayed functioning at a very full and effective level since then. And why can't the state be working with us? Why can't they be donating some of their resources so that we can expand the scope of our work, which appears to be very effective?
Mm-hmm. Nika, can you ask in your words what kind of supplies and things like that are needed for this clinic? And what resources and people and things like that?
Well, one thing that I wanted to ask is if you feel that you have been impeded in your efforts by groups like the Red Cross or FEMA?
Well, I don't think we've been impeded, because they did credential me and I've been able to prescribe. And in fact, we have gotten some goods donated by the Red Cross, and we've gone to some of their relief centers and gotten supplies that we could use in our clinic. And in terms of the actual personnel on the ground, like the physicians, the ambulance crews, we've had really good relationships, and they've gotten to know us, we've gotten to know them. So in terms of like individual interactions, it's been really positive. It seems to be at the larger system level that things seem to be, I guess to use your word, somewhat impeded. I mean, we've been meeting about expanding our scope of work. We've wanted to set up satellite clinics throughout Algiers. And maybe if folks are returning to the east side of the river, or even for the people who are still there to try to help out, we've talked about setting up some health care efforts over there. We've talked about that, but we haven't had the people to do that. But we have the organization to do that. We've had the supplies to do it. The most important thing is that because what we're doing incorporates local people, folks from the community, we have an angle into what is really needed and where we need to go. I mean, you know, who was worried about someone, who was worried about being a person who might have been left in this house, who knows someone down the street who's having trouble breathing. It's just a lot of, you know, word of mouth that comes to us because local folks are incorporated into our process. Now, I think that's a model for effective relief. And it seems to me that the expertise is here. Why not then pull the resources that the state and the feds have to expand the scope of what we're doing? And this speaks to an issue that billions of dollars coming in, presumably to help the people of New Orleans, but the people themselves seem to have the least say in how that money is being spent. We're an example of a clinic in which the people are having a say because they're basically, you know, the foundation for what we're doing. And it would be a beautiful thing if the government recognized that and sort of got off their sort of bureaucracy and just worked at the grassroots level with us. And we're not ideological. We're not spewing forth, you know, rhetoric about, you know, controversial topics here. We're talking about how to help people in dire need and do it in the best way possible, in the most humanitarian way, in a way that promises sustainability and improvement for the community for the long term.
Yeah, I think your example of the doctor who was sitting for his shift and no one showed up is just an example of a disconnect that's happening between the aid efforts and the people who need that aid. Because obviously there still are a lot of people that need aid, where the government has been telling us not to donate to outside organizations other than FEMA, the Red Cross, and the New Orleans Police Department, because they may swindle you, or the money might not reach the victims. But what you're telling us is that the money that's being donated to the Red Cross is not actually, in many cases, reaching the victims.
Well, we could use some more basic supplies. We wouldn't have to make as many runs to the pharmacy. We could use some generic medications like Lasix, you know, for treating high blood pressure, or more insulin, or inhalers for asthma. We could use those things, and it would make our work more efficient, but we could also use more personnel. And that's part of their funding base, is to support personnel coming in. We could use some more personnel. So anyone who wants to come by and check us out and see what we're doing with the resources we have, I think is going to be instantly convinced that we're real about what we're doing. And that's not to say that there aren't swindlers and people taking advantage of the situation. And maybe the Red Cross and FEMA are somewhat justified in being a little wary of some of the, you know, folks who are saying, give us money and supplies. I mean, as anyone might, you know, there are people who take advantage of the situation. But they're carrying that to a really absurd degree here, when the example of our clinic is right in their neighborhood. And if they just wanted to spend some time with us, they'd know. Now, I did have one doctor from Department of Public Health come down here just to check us out, because I had put out invitations, and it was a visit that I hoped would lead to a spirit of cooperation and having more resources. It doesn't seem to have panned out that way. Today, I spoke with some doctors that come in. Deployed under some military medical reserve framework to work with the Red Cross, and they've been sitting in Lafayette, well out of New Orleans, basically doing nothing, from what I heard. I mean, they're not being able to utilize their skills and their training, and they called me saying, you know, do you all need some help? And I'm like, yeah, of course we need some help. Unfortunately, they're somewhat constrained because of their how they came in here and who they're working under. They're sort of constrained. You know, they need to be sort of working in tandem with the Red Cross. But they're saying, you know, we've got some high-powered medical personnel here, and we're not even getting a chance to utilize it. Meanwhile, I'm telling them, yeah, I had a woman come in with a wound that looked like it reached an artery, and she was spouting arterial blood. I mean, we've got some really serious injuries coming here. We've got diabetes out of control. We've got really high blood pressure. We've got some complicated medical things. You know, from the standpoint of wanting to utilize your skills, you know, you're not going to get bored here. And plus, if we had them here, we would be able to set up. Now, there's a whole relief center being set up in St. Mary's Church, and they wanted us to be able to go over there and provide some primary clinical care, blood pressure screening and such, which we are doing, but it's limited because, again, we don't have the personnel to expand that.
So you would like to have more doctors and RN, registered nurses, come here to help. if they were to want to get involved, how could they do that?
Well, we have all sorts of numbers. First of all, outside out-of-state clinicians need to deal with the credentialing process, so they're covered for liability. But beyond that, they can be in touch with Malik Rahim and come in and get oriented into the whole collective. Because there is a kind of social, you know, vision here. There is a philosophy, and it's one of mutual aid and solidarity, getting away from the notion of charity. This is one in which we really want folks in the community to feel as a part of the process as any outside professional is. And so for people who are down with that vision and excited by it, this is the place to be. I don't know if that would appeal to everyone who's coming in. It's certainly maybe a model of relief that professionals might not be used to.
And if you were to get more personnel, you would be able to set up clinics in other neighborhoods that are in need. Have you heard about these neighborhoods that you would like to set up in also?
Well, you can just drive around and see. Just in terms of need, the need is enormous, and it's just going to grow as folks return, evacuees return. I mean, we're just seeing a fraction of the population. So yeah. And if we could come up with a model of care that didn't involve soldiers toting M4s and M16s, you know, walking around in camouflage, driving Humvees, I mean, I think if we can put a more compassionate face on a genuine outreach to the people, that would be just wonderful. I mean, why not expand our scope of operation? And, yeah.
I think the media has put out an image that New Orleans is an unsafe place to be, that you need protection. How safe have you felt here?
I felt more safe here than some of the neighborhoods I live close to in San Francisco. I mean, yeah, I think in the days immediately following the hurricane, there was a lot of shooting. I mean, everyone knows that there was a dead corpse in a field not too far away from here, and neighbors did say that they just heard shots day and night. And it was very, very scary. There's no question about that. But that level of extreme violence seems to have completely abated. And I'm riding around what people call to be one of the poorest neighborhoods of Algiers, and I'm having no problem whatsoever. I mean, folks just wave at us. So, I mean, I personally haven't had any jitters about safety. And I'm a little more wary of the military checkpoints than the folks here. I don't like seeing so many guns.
Do you think that the military's arrival has been the reason for there being less violence now?
It probably is. It's funny because when you talk to the folks here, one thing I've heard them say is that in some sense they were grateful for the military coming in to restore the calm. Because the police were a lot less, composed in the face of this disaster, and were apparently exercising some really brutal tactics and, racist agendas, from what I've gathered talking to people here. So that the military kind of came in, and maybe they did kind of restore some sort of calm, but we've got that calm right now. Why do we still need the Humvees and, the M16s? And I mean, isn't it possible to have a paradigm of relief that doesn't involve such a obvious militarization of the effort? Why does razor wire and M16s have to be accompanying every major relief effort? We're a place where we prohibit any guns from the premises. We're open 24 hours, and we haven't had any problem. And yeah, we've got our own security. I mean, we can, but we haven't had any problems whatsoever. I just don't think you need that kind of heavy-handed approach. Just everything. That seems to be the American model. It's like there's a problem in the world. Well, let's send in the military. And that's a very expensive proposition. In addition to just the image that it conveys.
Do you think that some of the original violence was a result of police violence?
I don't know. I wasn't here to know what was happening. I think there was a lot of fear, and particularly because there was so little support and so little supplies, and maybe folks were just becoming much more siege-like in their thinking and paranoid. People were worrying about their survival if they weren't going to get water or food. So that might have been the context for a lot of the shooting.
Well, if people do want to help with this clinic, if they're not doctors, how can they help? You need medicine sent, you need supplies, you need money. How can they help?
We have some phone numbers. I could get that phone number. Do you want me to get it? Hold on a second. I should.
Okay.
Okay, so the phone number of the clinic is 504-361-9659, and the address is 1401 Teche, T-E-C-H-E Street, Algiers, Louisiana, 70114-5842. The actual post office box for the clinic right now is P.O. Box 3. It's addressed to Common Ground, P.O. Box 3216, Gretna, G-R-E-T-N-A, Louisiana, 70054. You can write checks.
To Common Ground.
There we go. Yep, to Common Ground.
And also send donations to that address.
That's right, yeah. Or hook up with any other groups that are coming in here and load them up, and they can bring the donations. The medications are a little more tricky because most medications are prescribed for individuals, but if you have connections with a pharmacy or a hospital or a drug company, you can get bulk supplies, and that's really what we need, are bulk supplies.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Okay.